Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the List
and the Chris
at Fightful.com with Jimmy Van and
Chris Van Fleet.
They're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
That was amazing. Top-notch production. Top-notch production. What's up, you guys? Yes, it is Wednesday, and yes, this is Fightful, but no, I am not Sean Ross Sapp. Sean is out today, probably living the life, being a limousine riding, jet flying, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun. And so today, this is not the List and your boy. Instead, we are presenting a special edition of the List and the Chris. My name is Jimmy Van. I am the founder of Fightful.com. And you know my co-host. He is The Rock's favorite personality on YouTube. At least I'm saying he is. And he is a four-time Emmy Award winner. And I even had them put that on his overlay. This is Chris Van Vliet. How are you, man?
Doing great. And for today only, I'm going to be Chris Van. So it's Jimmy Van and Chris Van. And I'm here, Jimmy, to tell everyone, to show everyone that the three most important letters in pro wrestling are not SRS. They are not WWE. They are not AEW. Hell, it's not even MJF. It's CVV.
Very nice. Now, if we're going with the theme, should it be Jimmy Van and Chrissy Van?
Jimmy Van and Chrissy Van. By the way, I love the NBA Jam intro. Man, what a throwback. That was my jam. That was my game in the 90s.
That was all Sean, too. I can't take credit. That was all Sean. But I got to tell you, I am looking forward to doing this with you. You are somebody that I very much respect. You're somebody I think very highly of because you are a worker. Everything that you have achieved, you earned. And so when Sean Ross Sapp told me, hey, I can't do the podcast today, the person at the top of my list to co-host was Chris Van Vliet. And so I'm glad you're here, man. We're going to have some fun.
Oh, wow. That's very kind. So thank you so much. Jimmy, I have a tremendous amount of respect for you and everything you've built with Fightful and everything else that maybe, you know, people don't really know what you do behind the scenes, but it's amazing. Actually, before we dive into this, I've always been so curious because I'm a big fan of like branding and stuff. How did you come up with Fightful?
I wanted a name that was short. So I'm a big believer in making sure that the domain of any company that you create is available.
Yes.
Because everything is digital. So I wanted a name that was short. I wanted a name that was easy to spell, easy to say. I wanted a name that I thought you could have some fun with. Fightful to me had a good ring to it. It was a domain that was available. And it's funny enough. So Alex Pulaski, who does Sour Graps with us, he uses the term Fightful Faithful to refer to our viewers. That was actually a term that I came up with when I thought of the name Fightful.
Wow.
But I never told Alex that. He came up with Fightful Faithful by himself. But that's where it came from. I wanted something that just had a good sound, short, easy to spell, easy to say, because in the digital world, that's what you want for your business.
It's so good. And I will admit that I spend far too much time on GoDaddy, like looking up domains and looking up different brand names, and everything's taken.
Everything's taken.
Everything. Yep. So the fact that you could get Fightful.com is amazing. So my hat's off to you. I'm not wearing a hat, but you get the hat.
And you know what I love about it the most? Vince Russo hates it.
Really? Why?
he's told me, and he said on his podcast, Fightful, such a stupid name. It's such a stupid name. And that for me makes me love it even more.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So something else I want to tell you, did you know that you and I, Chris Van Vliet and Jimmy Van, have a lot in common? Did you know this? And I'm not just talking about the aesthetic similarities. No.
Pretty much like twins here.
Almost like looking in a mirror. Yeah, looking in a mirror. No. So we're both from small town Canada. I believe you told me you're from Pickering.
Yep, Pickering.
I'm from Brockville, Ontario, Canada. We both are longtime pro wrestling fans from childhood whose families didn't like wrestling. You've told me about this. My family didn't like wrestling either. We both have ties to the independent wrestling scene in Ontario, Canada. We know a lot of the same people. We've talked about that. We do stuff on YouTube, obviously. But did you know, Chris, that you and I both had our first child the same year that we turned 40?
Wow.
Yes. Both of us.
Oh, man.
Yes. And that was good timing on your part. I don't know if it was intentional or not. But it was good timing because you want to wait till you're established. You want to make sure that you get the fun. You know, a lot of people, when they have kids really young, they don't get to experience as much fun as maybe they would have otherwise. Mm. So I'm a believer in waiting. And so, yeah, we both did that too.
Wow. Well, look, my daughter is now 9 days old as I sit here right now. And right now she's sleeping in the other room and we're very grateful for that. But you say that, you know, you're a little more established when you have a kid at 40. I barely know what I'm doing right now. We're barely getting by here. I can't imagine doing this at any other point in my life and trying to figure it out.
Will Washington had children young. He's talked about it. I can't imagine. Like when I was 25 years old, there's no way.
Oh my gosh. No, I always talk about all the time, like, especially in the dating world, like before I met my wife, I was like, you know, I was so fortunate also to meet her, you know, when I was in my late 30s and I was like, okay, I've got life a little bit more figured out. At least I know what I want to do in life. I wouldn't have wanted to date the 22-year-old version of me.
Right.
I can't imagine why anyone else would want to date the 22-year-old version of me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Chris is going to school and Cody Diener's ignoring him. And
yes. Oh my gosh. That is, yes, that is exactly what happened. I so badly wanted to be a pro wrestler when I was in college. And, you know, we'll tell the story here real quick, but I went to a dorm party. I went to Wilfrid Laurier University in Waterloo, Ontario. Just down the street was another college, was Waterloo University. Cody Diener happened to go to that school. I didn't know him. I didn't know anything about him, but he lived on the same floor as one of my best friends. And we met at a party, like a dorm party. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to some wrestling show tomorrow. I'm like, well, do you have any room in the car? Like, could I tag along? And then we basically just stopped talking at that point. He's like, like, yeah, there's no room in the car. Can't make that happen.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Cody is a good dude. I know you've talked to him since.
And love Cody.
I've talked to him too. Good Ontario kid. Okay, so we're going to talk wrestling, but before we do, we got to get a little business done first. So first, guys, get in your super chats if you want us to read your question or comment live on the air, or you can go to humperchat.com to do the same thing, and Chris or myself will answer your question live right here on the list. And the Chris. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Fightful, and hit that like button on this podcast. It helps us out a lot. We are on the road to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. Woo! Nowhere near the level of Chris Van Vliet, but we will take it. We want to hit that $100,000 goal or 100,000 subscriber goal, so help us with that. Last but not least, Fightful Select is the most subscribed Patreon on the planet in terms of pro wrestling news. For just $5, you get all the wrestling scoop your heart desires. Go to FightfulSelect.com to subscribe and get the deets. All right, we're going to get started here, Chris. We're going to start with a couple of super chats right out of the chute.
Let's do it.
Ricardo, still no surname, says, congrats on fatherhood, CVV. Have fun. There you go.
Thank you, Ricardo. Still no surname. Appreciate it, man. It's been so cool, Jimmy, seeing all these messages, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, you know, YouTube. It's just amazing how many people are like congratulating me for this. I don't know. It's just the wildest thing. The feeling's just not going away. It's such a rush.
It's great to see positivity in a negative world sometimes. You know what I mean?
So and in the world of pro wrestling, there is a lot of negativity.
A lot of negativity. My yeah, there is.
Goodness. I don't understand you guys.
We have another super chat from Glassdoor Gamer. They say, shout out to Pickering, Ontario. The smoke is horrible.
Oh no. I've heard about this. I've heard that it's really bad. I hope everything's okay there.
I don't know. That's news to me.
It's the forest fires on you know, that side of the country. They're really affecting Canada and also into the U.S. On the East Coast.
In the Maritimes.
Yeah. So I hope everything's all right there.
Jeez. I haven't heard about it hitting Ontario. I mean, I live in Toronto. I haven't heard about it. I guess, I don't know. Maybe I just haven't been paying enough attention.
Well, I feel like you'd see it. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm a hermit these days. I'm semi-retired. So maybe that's part of the problem.
Are you really?
I am. We'll talk about that off the air.
Okay.
I want to start today by sending condolences to the family of Khosrow Vaziri, otherwise known as the Iron Sheik. It was announced today, June 7, that he has passed away at the age of 81. You talk about a story that is the stuff of legend. Decorated Olympic caliber amateur wrestler from Iran, he defected to the U.S., where he became an assistant coach for the U.S. Olympic wrestling team at the 1972 Games in Munich, Germany. Of course, he met Vern Gagne. He trained to be a pro wrestler. He went on to beat Bob Backlund for the WWE title. He won the WWE tag titles with Nikolai Volkoff. He kind of jump-started Hulkamania by putting over Hulk Hogan for the title. In his later years, he kind of developed a different reputation because of certain vices and certain addictions. There was a story of him and Jim Duggan, of course, that got caught together in the car when they were feuding on television. His daughter, Marissa, unfortunately, was murdered in 2003, and it's known that he had a bit of a downward spiral after that for many years. And he was taken advantage of a lot publicly and poked fun at by outlets like the Howard Stern Show. But he also had that legendary Hall of Fame speech in 2005, the WWE Hall of Fame speech, and I had the opportunity to meet him and spend time with him when we both worked at an independent show in 1999 in North Dakota, and check out this throwback pic. Look at that.
Wow.
Feels like it was taken 80 years ago. Oh man. God. But I got to tell you.
What's on your chin there?
Yeah, that was some stupid. So it's a lot. So I was portraying a heel character, and for some reason, I thought that that would work. And I'll tell you a funny side story. Justin Roberts was ring announcer for that show, and I met Justin Roberts, and I've known Justin Roberts since 1999 because he was doing ring announcing. He thought me being Canadian was a gimmick. He didn't think it was real. He thought, what? Oh, his gimmick is that he's a bad guy Canadian. And I just thought, I'm really from Canada, because he thought it was bullshit. But I got to tell you, when I met the Sheik, he was very kind. He was very laid back. I'd heard stories that he had a temper. Had none of that. He was awesome to talk to. He was very willing to talk wrestling with me. Chris, tell me your thoughts and memories of the Iron Sheik.
Well, look, I love that the Iron Sheik's one of those characters that whether you're a diehard pro wrestling fan or you know nothing about pro wrestling at all, you know who the Iron Sheik is. And I think that that's such a testament to who he was both in the ring and outside of the ring. And you're right. He kind of jump-started Hulkamania. If it wasn't for him putting over Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania probably still would have happened at some point, but it would have looked very different. So my personal interactions with him were always so good. I worked at Sun TV in Toronto. You may remember, Jimmy, there was a show on there called The Grill Room. And my colleague and good friend, Gareth Wheeler, hosted that show. And the Iron Sheik was a frequent guest on that show. And it was funny because every single Iron Sheik segment had to be pre-taped because you never knew what he was going to say live on the air. But he was so kind and so nice. But when that red light and the camera went on, he got right into character and he was always just so entertaining. And that was the thing I love about him. He was always looking to make people smile and entertain people. And man, he was just such a kind individual, at least in all the interactions that I had with him.
Do you remember an Ontario independent wrestler by the name of Magnus Van Steele?
Yes.
So I got to tell you a story. So the Sheik was brought in for some shows years ago in Ontario, Canada. One of the local television stations, I believe out of London, interviewed him and Magnus. And the entire time, the Sheik called him Magnum. And we were all standing off to the side because Magnus is trying to like maintain focus and maintain this character that he had. He was a big muscled up guy. And we're all standing off to the side laughing our asses off because the Sheik the whole time, Magnum, Magnum. That was the Iron Sheik.
Sheik was making all of these different comments, a lot of them, of course, about Hulk Hogan when he would be on Sun TV. And Gareth would be like, I'm not actually sure that's true, Sheik. And he's like, oh, yes, very true. And he would go on and say something else. We'd have to actually check you on that. That's also maybe not true. But it was just that was just his way of like continuing the conversation and getting people to talk about him.
It's true. It's true. He was a legend and he will be remembered. There's no question about it. So my condolences to his family. We got a super chat from Small Snippets of Life. They said, hi, Jimmy and CBV, coming to Toronto for Forbidden Door. This will be my first wrestling pay-per-view. Need some restaurant recommendations. It's been a decade since I visited. Okay. Do you have any Toronto restaurant recommendations?
Yes. And because I'm not back in Toronto that often, it's maybe twice a year now to see my family. Every time I get off the plane, I make my parents take me to Swiss Chalet immediately.
Are you kidding?
I love Swiss Chalet. It's a rotisserie chicken restaurant for people who aren't familiar with this. And the sauce they have there, Chalet sauce, is so good you could like drink it out of the little bowl that they give it to you in.
Okay. So for anybody not Canadian, Swiss Chalet is a chain franchise. And that sauce, you can get powdered forms of that. Did you know that?
Yeah, of course you can, but it's different. It's not the same. And I've had that. My parents have sent it to me since I've been living in the US. It's not the same. So Swiss Chalet, that's a huge recommendation from me. Jack Astor's is such a great spot. I love Jack Astor's. Always go back to that. And also Smoke's Poutinerie. If you happen to be downtown, you can go to Smoke's. It's a poutine restaurant, but it's like all these different kinds of like gourmet poutine. Like, and I, you know, you can have poutine when you come to the US, but it's not the same. That's not
right.
The same.
Right. If you want gourmet versions of fries, cheese, and gravy, Smokes is where you want to go.
Cheese curds, Jimmy.
You're right. Cheese curds. So I'm going to give you a couple of other names for restaurants aside from the popular franchise places that Chris is telling you. So Scaramouche is a great place, Midtown Toronto. I love that place. Michael's on Simcoe is the best steakhouse in Toronto, one of the best in the world. So I would go to Michael's on Simcoe. And you remember Casa Loma?
Of course.
Right, Chris? Yeah. Casa Loma is a castle in Midtown, an actual castle in Midtown Toronto. They have a restaurant in there now called Blue Blood, which is a steakhouse. So I would go there, and I'll give you a tip. If you go there with your significant other, tell them that it is your anniversary, even if it isn't, because they might give you a tour of the place for free if you tell them that. Wow. This is what so I'm told, Chris.
I like that. That's a gimmick right there. I'll give you one more. The Old Spaghetti Factory is a very special place when you're in Toronto.
It's been around for a while. Someone is busting my chops about the smoke. They said, Glassdoor Gamer said, Jimmy, go outside. It smells like bonfire. Okay. I live in Uptown Toronto. I'm outside every day. I have not smelled smoke. I haven't. I'm sorry.
Where exactly? Where, I mean, Uptown could be really anywhere. Where do you consider?
In the Lawrence and Avenue area of Toronto.
Okay. Yeah. So it's by like Yorkville?
No, Yorkville is quite a bit south of us.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm closer. I'm going to say you're still a Canadian boy, Chris. Come on.
Yes. Now, this is funny. It's a little aside here. There's a little tangent here. So when I first moved to Toronto from Pickering, I was living like downtown. I was living on Blue Jay Way in front, basically. So like right next to Rogers Centre. You know, it used to be called the Sky Dome. I would have friends that would be like, oh, I just moved downtown too. I'm at Yonge and Bloor. And I'm like, right. I said downtown and you're living at Yonge and Bloor. Or they'd be like, oh, I live at Yonge and Eglinton, right downtown. And I'm like, that's a 20-minute subway ride away. It's not really downtown.
Nope. That's like clients that I've had that they said, oh, you're from Canada. I have a friend in Vancouver. Do you know them?
Oh, I gotta love that. Gotta love that.
All right. We have another super chat from Deo. They said, who else saw Anne Hathaway giving CVV eyes?
Man, it's so funny. That interview happened 12 years ago and it gets reposted at least once a month. Every month I get tagged in it quite a bit. I don't see what everyone sees there, but it's really interesting, Jimmy, because two types of people will repost this video. On one hand, you'll get people that are like, look how flirtatious and fun this was. Like, what happened after the cameras went off? I don't know. And then on the other side, you get people that are like, how dare this forward young man ask a question about an actor's weight gain or loss? I'm so happy she handled it in the way that she did. And it's so funny how the two different types of people couldn't be further from each other.
Wow. I'm not really up to speed on a lot of celebrity names. There was one girl you interviewed. Was it Dakota Johnson?
Yeah, Dakota Johnson, Leslie Mann.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, Dakota Johnson wanted a piece of CVV. She did.
She was just having fun. She was just having a good time.
All right. Well, the next thing we're going to talk about is AEW Business and Double or Nothing. And speaking of Double or Nothing, if you want to keep your identity and data safe and get access.
Hey, guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Access to IPs around the world to help you get better pay-per-view pricing. NordVPN has you covered. Take it away, Joel.
Nord. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What more can I say that I haven't already said? Well, I'm going to have to say a few things because this is an ad read for NordVPN.com/Fightful. You know, the way that I get UFC pay-per-views for 1/6 the price, the way that I'm able to unlock lots of content, the way that I'm able to keep myself browsing safely and securely when I'm on the road or when I'm at home on all my devices. This bad boy right here, this bad boy right here, all these bad boys around here that you can't even see are all protected with NordVPN.com/Fightful, a 30-day money-back guarantee. You already get a great deal on it. The amount in savings that I had the first month beat the price that I paid for the subscription itself. And again, works on all your devices with one subscription. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check out their many great tiers and tons of other great features. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Very nice.
Good job, Sean Rossap. All right, let's talk some AEW business. I'm very curious to get your thoughts on some of this stuff. So I'm sure you are familiar with tribalism and pro wrestling, right?
What? No, that doesn't exist. What are you talking about, Jimmy?
I just pulled it out of my ass, I guess. I don't know. But there are people that they love everything AEW does. They defend all of it. They love everything WWE does. They defend all of it. But then there are those that hate one company and shit on everything they do, even when it's good. AEW has always been kind of polarizing, but right now it feels like maybe more so than ever, because on the one hand, they've seen some good success with certain shows. So Forbidden Door is sold out in Toronto on June 25th. They got about 13,000 tickets sold for that show. All In London on August 27th, they have about 65,000 tickets sold. Massive success. But then on the other hand, Double or Nothing is estimated to have done about 130,000 buys, according to Dave Meltzer. It's a 15% drop year over year. AEW Collision tickets are not moving yet, even though they announced CM Punk is going to be part of it. According to WrestleTix, the Collision taping in Hamilton, Ontario on June 29 has less than 800 tickets sold so far. And the Collision show on June 24 in Toronto has less than 1,900 tickets sold so far. And that's at Scotiabank Arena, which is a pretty big venue. This has led to speculation or suggestion that maybe CM Punk isn't the draw that he used to be. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, I think that CM Punk is still a draw, but everything that happened with All Out or Brawl Out and all the things that happened behind the scenes that we don't really know, and I'm sure one day a documentary will come out 10, 15, 20 years from now that will reveal all of that, I feel like that took the wind out of the sails of AEW. And I feel like that made a lot of fans, whether you were an AEW and WWE fan or you were just a diehard AEW fan, I feel like what happened there and the fallout from that press conference really shifted the momentum there. And I can't quite put my finger on it, but it just feels like something's different there. And speaking directly to Double or Nothing, I just feel like AEW had this great idea of like, let's run it in Vegas every year. It's this special thing. It's like our biggest show. It's kind of like our WrestleMania. I really think that Double or Nothing needs to move to a different place every year to kind of freshen things up. And I will not be surprised when next year Double or Nothing is in a completely different location, because I just feel like Vegas every single year, I just think that there was only so much of an audience there. And for whatever reason, Vegas just doesn't draw huge wrestling crowds. Like Impact runs there frequently. And even the people in Impact will tell you just Vegas is not a great wrestling crowd.
Do you think, because this is kind of my opinion when it comes to Collision, or the Collision sales numbers, do you think when it comes to Vegas that they are burning out the town? Because not only did they do Double or Nothing at T-Mobile this year, but they did Dynamite at the MGM Grand the Wednesday before Double or Nothing. And so they're running the same town, you know, two times in the span of a week. And those shows, like the MGM Grand, they did under 5,000 tickets sold for that show. And then in Double or Nothing, they did about 10,500, according to WrestleTix. So do you think part of the problem is that they're just running the same towns too often?
Well, look, I think that they're doing the same thing that WWE does around their big shows. They go, all right, you're going to be in town already. Well, do you also want to come see SmackDown, NXT, Hall of Fame, which when that was a separate show, and the big show, and also Raw? And like WWE doesn't seem to have a problem when they're running that many, you know, shows in a weekend. I just think that Vegas itself isn't an amazing place to have a wrestling show. Like, it's one of those cities where there's something going on every single night of the week, every single week of the year. And I feel like when wrestling's going on there, all you're getting are the hardcore fans that are flying in and making this like a weekend, or making this a big destination adventure for them.
You're right. I mean, people in Vegas right now, they're busy watching the Golden Knights manipulate the cap to win a Stanley Cup. That's another topic. That's another topic for another day. I want to say this in terms of the Collision numbers. So, you know, Ontario, I think that a big problem they're having is that they have too many shows within a small geographical region over too short a period of time. So for those that aren't from this area, Hamilton, Ontario is about an hour drive from Toronto. And so when you look at what's upcoming, they've got Dynamite in Hamilton on June 28th, the day before the Collision taping. They're running Forbidden Door on June 25 in Toronto. The day after that, they're doing a Collision taping. So they got four shows in the greater Toronto area over a span of about a week. And I think that that is a major reason. Now, I agree with you. I do think that CM Punk's name value is not what it was before Brawl Out. And I do think that his name has been tarnished somewhat. But I think running four shows over a span of about a week within an hour distance is a major issue. And I've talked to people I know that live in the general area who have not bought tickets for Collision. And they told me that the prices were too expensive. They said, why would I go to Hamilton? Because, you know, Hamilton's not a big town and it's an industrial town. So they're saying, why would I go to Hamilton and pay $100 plus for a ticket to Collision? It doesn't make sense, especially if I'm already going to Dynamite. So I think it's kind of unfair, because some news outlets have really kind of pointed the finger at Punk and said that they're not drawing because of Punk. I don't think that's necessarily fair when you consider so many shows over a short period of time.
I also think that it's interesting how AEW is branding Dynamite, Rampage, and Collision as, they're kind of basically saying like, these are three shows that we have on network television and they're all kind of equal. Whereas like when you've got Raw and SmackDown, and then NXT definitely feels like it's one tier down. So when NXT gets 2,000 people at a show, nobody really bats an eye. They just go, oh, yeah, that's cool. On to the next one. So I just think that it's going to be really difficult for AEW to continue to go, Our Wednesday show is really important, but also our Friday show is really important. And then our Saturday show is also really important. And I feel like when you do that, how could you possibly have the equal amount of ticket sales across the board? It just doesn't seem to, how's that going to shake out?
Right. We got some super chats. Glassdoor Gamer says, why didn't they go to Vancouver or Montreal? Saskatchewan only gets WWE house shows for a reason. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think, like you said, they picked Toronto for Forbidden Door. They wanted to do Dynamite within the same general area. I don't know why they picked Hamilton. I'm sure it was cheap, but and maybe they're keeping production in town for the whole week, so it's easier that way, too.
Could also be availability. Like, there's so many things that happen behind the scenes that we have no idea that are actually going on. Like, it could be maybe other venues weren't available. And I think that, you know, a big thing that obviously happens in wrestling is they keep things within, you know, a couple hundred mile radius. So let's run this show and then let's just go one state over or one city over and run another show over here. A lot of this, though, has to do with schedules of all the different sports that run in those venues, all the different concerts that run in those venues, and trying to slide themselves into that schedule can't be easy.
It's possible. It's possible. I think if they were to do it again, I would do what WWE does. If you're going to run Toronto, I would run Ottawa or Montreal. Yeah. That's what WWE does. You're not going to see a television taping. You're not going to see Raw in Hamilton. You know what I mean?
I think that I just think there's a lot of people give AEW such a hard time and don't kind of take the grain of salt with this, that this is still a relatively new company. Like, they just started running four years ago. Right. I think a really big part of this is they started doing Dynamite in October of 2019. 5.5 months later, the entire world came to a screeching halt, and somehow AEW kept running television programs, even though their company was less than a year old. Every other startup would have crumbled and failed during that. And the fact that AEW was able to continue to keep going and to continue to build momentum during that time is something that's really commendable and nobody talks about.
I think their haters are still waiting for them to die, but it ain't happening. So if anything,
look, haters are still waiting for Impact to die, and they're like, you know, going 20 plus years now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So worst comes to worst, Tony Khan will buy a television network, because that's what Anthem Sports did. So you never know. We got a super chat from Ricardo, still no surname. He says Punk lost his luster after All Out. I think a lot of people think that. Did you notice when Tony Khan officially announced on Dynamite that Punk was going to be at Collision, that it was a mixed reaction? Did you notice that?
Yeah, and I just think that I don't have lost its luster. You know, I don't know if that's the correct term here, but it was so special when he came back. It was so special because Punk had really been arm's length from pro wrestling for so long, and he was basically the guy that people went, I don't think he'll ever come back. There's no way he'll come back. And then it was kind of this not so secret surprise when he came back, and the timing of it was so perfect. The world was just starting to open up again. They were able to have full arena shows again. And you've got the biggest return, at least in modern wrestling history, happening. And it was like, it was just this culmination of everything together. And it was just so perfect. And it can't be perfect forever. And I feel like, you know, that magic that you've created there starts to wear off a little bit, but that image of him sitting there during the presser with Tony Khan just kind of like, I don't know, like crawling in his skin while CM Punk is saying all these things, that is an image that I think is going to be ingrained in the brains of wrestling fans for the rest of their lives, for better or for worse.
I think Punk's going to turn heel on this run.
I think he has to.
I think that's where he's headed. And I'll be very curious on his first night. Now, granted, his first night's in Chicago. But Chicago could be a tough wrestling town, too. It won't surprise me if he gets kind of a John Cena-esque reaction, or at least the reaction John Cena used to get, because now they're just happy to see him. But it wouldn't surprise me if he gets that kind of a reaction and they go in a heel direction. There's a lot of rumor about him and Samoa Joe in a program. I think the fans are going to go with Joe in that program.
I think that if you look at the entire course of CM Punk's career, we're talking Ring of Honor and WWE, his stuff in AEW, he doesn't miss very often. So I think that CM Punk's really good at reading a crowd. And if things are going to go the way that you're talking about, I feel like he's going to jump on that and ride that wave, and it's going to be pretty, pretty special. So I'm interested to see that. I personally think that to make this CM Punk run, this second run of his, really mean something, he can't be wrestling every single week. And I know that's difficult because Warner Brothers Discovery is kind of saying like, hey, if we want Collision to work, you've got to have this CM Punk guy wrestling all the time. And I just feel like it would be so much more meaningful if CM Punk were to be kind of like Brock Lesnar, like someone who's around and you know he's there, but when he has a match, it means something. And there were a lot of matches that CM Punk had in AEW that really didn't mean anything. And I hope that this time around that they do something about that.
I also think because he's more injury prone now, they got to be smart. He's in his 40s. And so especially like I've been saying for a long time that if he's going to be at all in, I would do him and Omega. Like that should be your match. So long as he can get Omega to agree to want to work with Punk, because the Elite, you know, they don't know how the relationship is. Punk and Omega would be your matchup. But I agree. If Punk is wrestling every week on TV, you're taking a lot of risk because of his injury history.
And look, Punk and Omega is great because you know AEW would sprinkle in some of that real life drama in there and then blur the lines of what's real, what's fake. Does he actually mean what he's saying in that promo there? It's brilliant. I would love to see that happen. I think that they can figure this out.
Hopefully, money talks, ultimately, you know, so we'll see. We got a super chat from Rahav Rosenberg. San Jose is waiting for AEW. Chris is awesome.
It's very kind.
I didn't see no Jimmy is awesome, but that's okay because I don't get offended.
Jimmy is awesome. Come on.
I want to ask your question. I want to talk to you about Double or Nothing in a little bit and get your take on this. So Double or Nothing, like I said, did about 130,000 buys, which is still pretty good. It's not a train wreck by any stretch, but it was down 15% year over year. Now, going back to tribalism, of course, the AEW's haters are saying, well, that's because the booking sucked. That's what they're saying, right? But I think it's a combination of factors. Now, I do agree. I don't think that the four pillars angle was strong. And I also don't think that there was a ton of interest in the Elite versus the Blackpool Combat Club, not enough to draw over and above what they normally would. But you got to remember, NXT ran Battleground head-to-head against that pay-per-view. How do you not look at that and say, well, that must have taken a bite out of it? Do you think that, what do you think of AEW creative currently? Do you think that Double or Nothing was down because the storylines going in weren't connecting? Or do you think AEW is just fine creatively and NXT Battleground took a bite out of them?
I don't understand when people are like, man, all AEW does is take these old WWE guys and put them in the main event. And then they have a main event at their biggest show, Double or Nothing, which is four homegrown talent, the four pillars. And people go, oh man, that's not very interesting. It's like, what do you want here? Like which one of it will make you happy? And the answer is clearly none of it. But NXT running, you know, head to head with them is not a mistake. But also, can we continue to look at pay-per-view buys? Like when so many people are streaming this and finding this in other nefarious ways, perhaps using NordVPN, I don't know. You know, like I just think that that's not a great metric to judge whether the show is successful or not. That really worked, you know, in the same way that ratings aren't a great measure of how many people are actually watching the program. That worked maybe 20 years ago, but I just don't think that that's a good metric now.
I think the thing with ratings is that because advertisers still look at the key demo, you know, because in terms of what they're buying, in terms of what ad rates they're paying, they still do look at the key demo to kind of determine that. And I do think that whatever AEW gets on their next rights deal is going to be very much factored in to what kind of numbers they're doing. But I also think, like I've talked about this with Sean before, AEW is making money. You know what I mean? Like 130,000 buys is still good. They sold out Forbidden Door. They're getting 65,000 plus at All In. We don't know how much cash they're getting for Collision yet because they haven't announced it. But I bet you on their next rights deal, they're going to get three or four times what they have on their current deal. Look, they're making money, but sure. People are just looking for ways to say, oh, they're dying, they're dying, they're dying. It's just not the case.
Look, the one thing I will say about ratings is ratings do matter if you're a television executive. And that's period, end of the statement. That's it. Ratings do not matter when you're judging how many people are actually consuming a wrestling television program or any program in general. Like when you look at ratings from 20 years ago for everything, like Seinfeld and Friends were getting 20, 25 million viewers at that time. No show on network television is doing that anymore.
No.
And people are trying to compare this like they're apples and oranges. I mean, sorry, like the apples to apples. It's like apples to zebras. Like the ratings are so completely different because there's so many different ways that you can consume the television now. But I will say, you're right. The ad buys matter. Ratings matter for the ad buys. So yeah, the deal that AEW got with Warner Brothers Discovery, sure, that matters based on how many eyeballs they can bring to the program. And what's really interesting with television in 2023 is the only things you really need to watch as they're happening on TV are things that are happening live. And that's really, for the most part, sports and wrestling. So I think that Warner Brothers Discovery is going, you've got some sort of way to bring people to our network as it's happening. Have at it. See how many people you can bring in here, because everybody else could watch it on Netflix, Hulu, Max, whatever you can watch it on DVR. It's very, very rare that you're actually turning on the TV, like for cable or streaming, and actually flicking to the channel to watch something now.
Is apples to zebras an industry term? Or
I just made that up. Pretty good, right?
We got a super chat from Anthony Martin. He says, it's a holiday weekend. People are busy. I mean, AEW has done other shows over holiday weekends intentionally, and they've done well. So I don't think that's a detriment. All Out. I mean, Labor Day weekend is how they started with that show.
Yeah. And I mean, and they always run Double or Nothing on Memorial Day weekend. Look, I think that we could all come up with 100 different excuses for this or that or the next thing. But I just think that every single show, whether it's AEW or WWE, can't be a sellout. And I think that when some of them aren't, maybe that's not a problem. Maybe it's just like, let's look at this and learn from this and move on from there.
So you know who didn't have excuses? That's Chris Van Vliet, because I know that you set the goal of getting into the best shape of your life by the age of 40. Now, I got a question for you based on that. Mm. How does your wife feel about the results, Chris?
So my wife was also at her most pregnant point when I was in my best shape of my life. And she's like, this isn't really fair. You know, like, I'm at my biggest with a child and you're at your leanest with, you know, all of the work that you put in. She's like, this isn't really fair here. But man, I got to tell you, Jimmy, that was a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. And I've been working out since I was 15. I've always enjoyed going to the gym. I've always been in pretty good shape, but I wanted to see what was possible if I really dialed in the diet, dialed in the workout. The baby was about to be here, and I wanted to redefine what it meant to have a dad bod. And I hope that through this process, other people who are maybe at the very beginning of their fitness journey might be looking at this and going, man, if Chris can do that, I can surely do this too. I could cut out pop or soda from my day, or I could eat a little bit healthier. I could move my body a little bit more. And I just hope that inspires some people.
Awesome. Well, Chris redefined his body. If you want to redefine your penis, Blue Chew has you covered. Take it away, Joel.
If you're watching this, you have probably considered becoming a pro wrestler at some point. Well, let me tell you, I got your gimmick and I got your gimmick. Here's your gimmick name, Rock Hard Eric Shins. And your gimmick is Blue Chew and the code Fightful. Same approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but you don't want those. You don't want those. You want Blue Chew. It's chewable, gets into your system a lot faster. It's ready when you are or when you're not. Maybe you need that motivation. Maybe you need that step up in performance, or maybe you just want a little bit of additional confidence. Take an online questionnaire with a physician, and when approved, it arrives straight to your door. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping, because that first shipment is free when you use the code Fightful. Mailman's not going to know what's up. The nosy Nellies around your neighborhood aren't going to know what's up. But let me tell you, that special someone's going to know what's up. BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
Took me a while to get to that segue, but I got there, Chris.
Your segues are so good. And I also have to say, it's amazing that we have the same sponsors on both of our different shows.
There you go. There you go. It must be something in the water with us. I don't know. Got a super chat from Rahab Rosenberg. He said, me again, Jimmy, you're awesome too. Oh, that's so sweet.
And there you go.
He said, Chris, we need more live stuff from you. This is great. We'll have to do the list and the Chris again, Chris.
Look, just let Jimmy know that you want me back on here, and I'm sure we can figure something out. So maybe drop it in the chat right now and let Jimmy know that we want more CVV. How about we start a CVV, CVV chant?
We will have to talk about it. We'll talk about it off the air. All right, let's shift focus to WWE. This week, Raw was in Hartford, Connecticut. PW Insider reported that Vince McMahon was backstage, which isn't a surprise because it's close to his home base in Stamford. So that's not a big shock. And we reported on Fightful Select that Vince was in gorilla position and he changed a significant part of the show just a couple of hours before showtime. What's interesting, though, is that this particular episode of Raw was pretty well received, I thought. Gunther versus Kevin Owens was excellent. Seth Rollins versus Damian Priest was excellent. Dominic Mysterio, I'm sorry, man. There is nobody in the business with his level of heat at the moment. Not MJF, not anybody. Nobody has the level of heat that Dominic Mysterio has. What are your thoughts on Vince being at Raw and the fact that the show was actually pretty good despite him making changes?
Look, Jimmy, Vince being at Raw is no surprise to anybody. And I think that Vince having some sort of say in what's going on in WWE over the last handful of months is also no surprise to anybody. Like, this is his baby. And I just can't imagine Vince just sitting back and just enjoying retirement and not having his hand in what's going on here. So that's no surprise, especially the fact that it's, you know, right down the street from where he lives. So no surprise at all. And look, I was at the press conference after WrestleMania, and Triple H said something, and I kind of paused when he said it, but I'm like, man, it's true. He said, look, WWE is hot right now. And I'm like, is it? And then I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of eyes on WWE, and WWE has been making a lot of the right moves right now. And if you're not a WWE fan, or if you are a lapsed WWE fan, I just think that if you were to tune in, you'd be like, oh, wow, there's actually some stuff there that's pretty good right now, because WWE has, I don't know, I feel like it got made fun of for a long time there. And there were a lot of storylines that people didn't love. And I think that right now they're making a lot of the right calls.
I agree. KE775 says, will Vince screw up WWE momentum? I wonder if he's been bothered by the company's success without him. What do you think? Do you think that now that, you know, Endeavor, the deal has been announced, Vince is chairman of the new co, and so he kind of has a license now to be more involved. Do you think that that is going to stifle WWE momentum?
I don't think that he was ever not involved, really, in any sort of way. I don't know. I just think that WWE is making a lot of the right plays, at least right now. And I think that it feels like everything has to go through Vince for final approval, at least, you know, from what I've read, especially on Fightful Select. But I feel like Triple H has some really good ideas here. And I think that the more Triple H has some say in this, I think the better off we're going to be as fans.
I think that there's definitely a correlation between the Bloodline story and the increase in business with WWE. It seems like every live event now, Sean will post on Twitter, and they just hit a new record in gate for this, and they just hit a new record for gate for that. I think there's a correlation with the Bloodline story. So I want to get your thoughts on the different stages of the Bloodline story, because we've never been able to talk about this. Elimination Chamber in Montreal. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were pissed off that Roman Reigns beat Sami Zayn to retain the title. Where did you stand at that time? Were you part of the camp that said, man, it was Sami's time? Or were you part of the camp that thought, no, Roman's got a different end game here?
I think it was Sami's time. Like, I think that storyline was so good and so brilliant. And that's the long-term storytelling that we've been looking for so, so long. But I think that Sami winning there wouldn't have made as much sense with everything else that's happened after that. Like Sami and KO winning at WrestleMania, that's a huge moment. Roman hitting 1,000 days, I feel like that just seemed inevitable. And I think that it's eventually going to lead up to, at this point, it feels like WrestleMania 40, but Cody's going to be the next person to hold that championship. I don't know when, but I feel like it's a matter of, it's going to happen eventually. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So I just think that whatever they're doing right now has a play that's maybe a month or two or three beyond what you're seeing right now in the moment.
So that takes me to WrestleMania, because even though some people were upset about Elimination Chamber, that felt like it went up tenfold when Roman Reigns beat Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. And I am of the opinion, and maybe I'm in the minority, I think Cody has lost steam since WrestleMania. I don't think that he is as hot today as he was going into WrestleMania. I think the program of Brock Lesnar so far hasn't done him a lot of favors. The match that he won, he kind of won in a fluky way. Then he loses because he passes out. I think he's lost steam. Did you think Cody should have won at WrestleMania, or do you think it was the right decision?
I was shocked that he didn't win at WrestleMania, but I also think that WWE does this thing a lot where they go, oh, you think this person's going to win? Well, watch this over here. And I think that that was like the exactly what they did there. That was like the personification of that. I agree that the booking for Cody since WrestleMania hasn't been great. I do have some faith that this will somehow get turned around. I don't know if it's at SummerSlam, maybe it's Survivor Series, maybe they figure something out at Royal Rumble, although that feels like a long time away right now, but something's gonna have to happen here to bring people back around on Cody Rhodes. I also feel like, Jimmy, and maybe you'll agree with me here, leading into WrestleMania, they were doing all of these things to remind people like, no, Cody's the person you should be cheering for. Like there were moments where he was coming out to make the save and you're like, he's not even involved in this storyline. What's he doing here? But it's just to get that like pop and to make people go, oh yeah, Cody's the good guy. He's the guy we should be cheering for. It was just really interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will say this. So this latest twist with the Usos, I am interested in this. Like, this is interesting to me that, okay, Jimmy Uso cost Roman and Solo the tag team titles at Night of Champions. Then Jimmy approaches Roman on SmackDown and says, we want to be all one unit, but we all have to, you know, kind of be together. Roman rejects him. Solo attacks him. And so now they're advertising that this week on SmackDown, Jey Uso has to decide between brothers. He's got to pick either Jimmy or he's got to pick Solo. I think it's going to lead to a tag team match at Money in the Bank between Roman, Solo, and the Usos. Where do you think the Bloodline story is headed? And if you think they're going to do that tag team match at Money in the Bank, what do you think is going to happen post Money in the Bank? Where do you think they're going next?
Look, they have knocked it out of the park when we round every single corner with this Bloodline storyline. So I'm just along for the ride here. I just want to see what they do here. It'd be really interesting to see Paul Heyman turn on somebody. And
really,
I feel like he could be a really integral part of this because I don't think that people would see it coming.
Interesting. You think that, so who would he go with? Who would Heyman go with?
That's the thing. It could be, you know, maybe he could turn on, maybe he turns on Roman. I don't know, but it'd be very interesting because he's kind of silently been in the background here, but also a really big part of this whole thing. So that'd be very interesting. But I don't know how much, how can they continue this storyline for the rest of the year in the next year? I don't know either.
I mean, so you think they're going to go right to Mania next year, Cody Roman? They're going to go all the way to Mania?
I mean, as we sit here right now, Jimmy, in June of 2023, and that's, you know, 10 months from now, that definitely seems like where we're headed with this, doesn't it?
Yeah, possible. I don't know. All I got to say is keep the world heavyweight title away from Cody. Keep him away from the world heavyweight title.
That's a whole different discussion here. Like, I'm not a fan of the World Heavyweight Championship coming back. I'm a fan of the design. I think they did a really great job of like mixing the nostalgic, you know, elements of that with like a kind of a new twist. But bringing back the World Heavyweight Championship just kind of says like, yeah, that belt's important, but it's not as important as the one that Roman Reigns has. Like, it's slightly more important than the Intercontinental Championship or the U.S. title, but it's not as important as the one that Roman wins. So we can give this to people all day long, but just know that the belt that Roman has, that's the most important one.
We actually have a super chat related to this. Ricardo still no surname says, CVV, thoughts on that fugly new strap? And he's talking about, I think, the WWE Universal Championship, I think.
It's not even really new. Like, I saw this screenshot the other day of, like, there's 8 different versions or 9 different versions of that championship. I think we were all looking for something that, now, a lot of people were talking about, like, make it kind of look like the winged eagle in some sort of way. Like, give it like a new spin on a vintage belt. And then they just gave us the exact same design with a different color. Like, I just think that our hopes were really high on this, and we all kind of looked at it and went, oh, that's it?
So I'm going to tell you a reason why I love it and a reason why I don't like it. Okay. I love it because whenever a sports team wins a championship, WWE gives them a belt. And because that logo is so huge and so prominent, when that athlete is holding it up to the camera, you can see it a mile away. Mm-hmm. And so from a marketing perspective, I like it. What I don't like about it is when Roman first held it up, I thought that they had gold, quote unquote, behind the logo, but it looks like they actually just painted the leather.
It looks,
that's what it looks like.
It looks like it's yellow. Like, I don't know if that was the lighting, and maybe they should have ran through this a little bit more in rehearsals, but it looked a little yellow.
And you see the bumps. You see the leather bumps through it.
From a marketing standpoint, I think this is super smart. And I think to kind of jump off this idea of it being a marketing play, it's also brilliant because if you're one of those people who collects every single championship that WWE's ever put out, well, guess what? You've got to buy another one now.
Yep, Conrad Thompson's going to have it on his shelf. Guaranteed. We got a super chat from Glassdoor Gamer. He says, based on stats, the business seems cyclical. I don't know if he's referring to WWE or AEW. I mean, historically, wrestling has been cyclical. I mean, you had the peak in the 80s, then it dropped off in the early 90s, went back up for the Attitude Era. But I also think that creative had a lot to do with it, because when you look at, so they had the Hogan run in the mid to late 80s. Then remember, Vince was doing all the gimmicks, TL Hopper and the Goon. And that was when business was at a low. Mm-hmm. Then Stone Cold Vince McMahon and D-Generation X and the NWO. Like, I feel like even though the business has been cyclical, there was creative behind it. And when you look at where WWE is right now, they got the bloodline. So I think there's a correlation.
It's also really difficult to judge wrestling in the moment. And it, you know, this is kind of the same thing with, like, you know, movies or even sports. Like, it's hard to judge its significance in the moment. It's easier to look back after 5 or 10 or 15 years and go, oh, wow, that thing was pretty cool. Like, there were matches that Randy Orton was having in the mid 2000s. And we go, oh, yeah, great match. We look back at them now and go, oh, my God, we were getting the best of Randy Orton. This was so amazing.
I'm going to read this super chat, even though I know that it's a joke, but I'm going to read it. It's from G Bro. Hey, CVV, are you going to SawCon? Do you know what that's about, Chris?
I don't know.
Okay, it's a D's Nuts joke. I don't think we need to really worry about it. let me ask you this. So NXT, over the last while, we've seen them bringing people from the main roster. And I think it's a great idea to do, because you're giving the people in NXT who are inexperienced the opportunity to work with experienced people.
Yeah.
Most recently, Baron Corbin went down. Dana Brooke was on the show this week. Mustafa Ali's done a couple of matches. But here's something interesting. So Bron Breakker on NXT this week challenged Seth Rollins to come to NXT to defend the World Heavyweight Championship against Bron Breakker. I like the idea, but I think it's a wasted opportunity, because that is a WWE pay-per-view caliber matchup. What are your thoughts on the idea of Rollins defending the title in NXT as opposed to Breakker coming up and wrestling him on a WWE pay-per-view?
I feel like they're making the World Heavyweight Championship kind of like the new John Cena US title, like open challenge. I feel like Seth Rollins is going to be defending this title frequently, because Roman Reigns is not going to be defending his title really at all. So I feel like Seth Rollins is going to be the workhorse for this championship. And I feel like that's going to mean maybe he goes and has matches with people who you wouldn't expect him to have matches with. And I think that this title is going to do a really good job of elevating people who you might not expect to be getting a title shot. I agree that that's probably a match that could be better off in the main roster, but I think that this elevates NXT and this elevates Braun so much. And it also gets people that don't normally watch NXT to want to watch NXT. The interesting thing about WWE is, if you are a diehard WWE fan, unfortunately, sometimes you're not a wrestling fan. You're not watching everything that's going on. You're just watching Raw and SmackDown, and that's totally okay. But that means that some of those people aren't even watching NXT. So this might make them watch NXT and go, oh, wow, some really great stuff here. Maybe I should tune in more frequently on a Tuesday.
Were you a fan of the NWA? Because this might be a little before your time, but the NWA, say, in the late 80s, were you a fan of that at all?
That was a little bit before my wrestling fan.
Before your time. So back then when Ric Flair was the NWA champion, he would defend the title against like Ricky Morton from the Rock and Roll Express. Or he would defend the world title against Hawk from the Road Warriors.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was something that you just didn't see a lot. And so that would interest me. So if Seth Rollins one day is defending against Jimmy Uso, or he's defending against Otis, or he's defending against just somebody that you wouldn't normally think of, that would appeal to me because you don't get to see that very often.
Except that this just further reinforces my point that the World Heavyweight Championship is not the main championship. And that's okay, but right. let's stop pretending like it is.
Right, right. Okay, let's see. We got a bunch of super chats. Anime Otaku 2 says, I disagree that wrestling is cyclical. I think WWE just doesn't build new stars to be ready when the current guys retire or go part-time. It's possible. I still think that there is a correlation between creative and between the peaks and valleys of the business. But that's fair to say. I mean, Hogan, they kept him going as long as they could in WWE, even past the point that people were starting to boo him. I remember Survivor Series when Taker beat him, and as soon as Taker pinned him for the title, half the crowd popped.
Mm.
So it's possible that they did have guys hanging on too long. What do you think?
I think the wrestling fandom is also very cyclical. And like, you know, there are, you know, a select group of people that will watch no matter what. You're watching Monday and Wednesday and Friday, or maybe Tuesdays, throwing some Thursdays, whatever. But I think for a lot of people, like, life happens. Maybe you have a kid, or you go off to college, or you got a really busy job. And I feel like wrestling fandom is very cyclical, which could maybe skew your perception that wrestling itself also becomes cyclical. But I also think it's difficult when you have that transition between like the well-known names that are trying to transition and have that torch passed to the maybe not so well-known names that then, you know, rides that cycle again. They become a well-known name and then you got to pass the torch again to the next person. Like when John Cena was being shoved down our throats, nobody was happy about this. Now that John Cena is not around so much anymore, we kind of miss John Cena. Then when Roman Reigns was being shoved down our throats, we didn't like it very much. And then when Roman Reigns had the chance to really explore his character when there were no fans there and really got to say and do the things he wanted to do, we kind of went, huh, there's Roman Reigns' character. Isn't so bad. And I feel like now we're in this moment of like, okay, who's coming after Roman Reigns? Who's going to take the company for the next 10 or 15 years from now? And I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be.
Do you think that you've just found the secret sauce to getting Austin Theory over? They just got to keep him off TV for 3 months.
Maybe that's it. I'm such a huge fan of Austin Theory. I've known Austin for years and years and years. I'm such a huge fan of what he's doing.
And I'm just busting chops. I don't mean anything by it. All right, we got a super chat from Corey Lamb, and I want to know if you know the reference, Chris, being a good Canadian boy. I'm behind, but hearing a Gareth Wheeler reference today was not expected. Oh, Canada, oh, baby. You know what he's talking about?
Oh, Canada, oh, baby. This is great. Yes, Wheels. he's a massive soccer fan, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. I guess football for all of our friends that are not in North America.
Yeah. All right. And I want to put over, I want to give a shout out to a YouTube channel called Tom Talks Rubbish. This Friday, he is airing an interview that I did with him. I never do interviews. This is the first interview that I've done that was not hosted by a Fightful staff member because I never do them. But Sean Ross Sapp put him over to me and I respected his story. And so if you want to hear me talking about the inner workings of Fightful, connecting with Sean Ross Sapp, everything else, look up Tom Talks Rubbish on YouTube. That interview is going to be up this Friday. He wants to interview you, Chris Van Vliet. So I'm just throwing that up there. And here's a super chat from Tom. He says, thank you for being nice people. What is Jimmy's thoughts on CVV's favorite match, Hogan versus Rock? Is that your favorite match of all time?
Favorite match of all time. And I was there. WrestleMania 18, of course, you know, Sky Dome, Toronto. I fully went into that match expecting to cheer for my dude, The Rock. And then Hulk Hogan's music hit and I went, no, I'm a Hulkamaniac.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And so did like 80% of the crowd.
So this is where my age might come through. Although my gut tells me that you're going to agree with me. So I am a much bigger fan of moments than I am of matches. When a guy does a Canadian Destroyer off the top rope through a table, I'm not impressed by that. Because I've seen it 1,000 times. They'll get a pop that night. By the next show, it's forgotten. But if you can come up with a moment, that is when you really have something. And Hogan Rock was a moment. I mean, Hulk Hogan was not Will Ospreay. You know what I'm saying? But Hulk Hogan knew how to work the crowd. He just had a sense for it. He was a supreme entertainer. And that match, look at the crowd for that match. That was a magical moment.
The true testament, and I'm sure you've heard this before, is if you turn the volume off in that match still like comes all the way through the screen. You know exactly what's going on there. That stare down that they have with all the camera bulbs going off, and that's just a testament to that time, is such a special moment, and we'll never see that again.
Right, right. Okay, I'm going to ask you one more thing, and then after that, we're going to jump over to the list goes on FightfulSelect.com. I'd love you to join me, Chris, if you're
around. Sure.
So I got one more topic I want to ask him on the live pod here. Then we're going to go over to FightfulSelect.com, and we're going to continue on with the list goes on. I want to ask your thoughts on The Rock, and this is something I want to get your opinion on. So, because I know that you have a relationship with The Rock, you know, somewhat, and you've interviewed him a bunch of times. Over the last maybe 6 months or so, it feels like The Rock has done a bit of a heel turn in terms of his reputation on social media. And I've read a lot of negative sentiment about him on social media, on Twitter, and on Instagram. And even my wife used to worship the ground that the guy walks on. Now she ignores his social media posts. I don't know if it's because of the Black Adam fallout. I don't know if it's because that he tends to play more or less the same character in everything that he does. But there's definitely been a bit of a shift. Meanwhile, Dave Bautista has become somewhat of a massive babyface for his work in Hollywood. A lot of people are now saying he's a better actor than The Rock is. He chooses more diverse roles. Have you noticed a popularity shift with The Rock at all? Have you noticed that online sentiment has kind of changed? What are your thoughts on that?
I think there were two things that happened that kind of shifted people's opinion on The Rock. One was when he endorsed Joe Biden.
Really? Interesting.
I thought that was a really interesting move because if he had just, you know, when he took a side like that, he alienated like 50% of his audience because there might have been 50% that would have voted for the other guy. And I thought that was a really interesting move, but obviously something that he felt, you know, really strongly about. And then this fallout after Black Adam has been so interesting. And I think the thing that really disturbs me the most is how many people were like excited to watch The Rock fail here. Like, oh man, The Rock was hyping up this movie for so long and it didn't make as much money as he said it was going to make. It's like, so like it still made hundreds of millions of dollars. And like, I think generally has been a success, but it was amazing seeing people just hate for the sake of hating. Like, The Rock is an incredibly nice and likable person. And like, I think there's a lot of people that just want to watch someone who's super successful, like stumble a little bit. And like, I'm still a huge Rock fan. I just think that maybe there's a lot of people that were thinking, we're just a little rocked out right now.
Like, very well said.
You know
something? So I learned a long time ago, and the Biden thing, I never thought about. That's a very good point, because I learned a long time ago in business, there's two things you don't talk about publicly: politics and religion. Mm-hmm. Those are two things you don't talk about. Those are two things. Sean knows this about me. I've made it very clear to him from the time we started. I never want to see you guys talking politics or religion on social media, because you do alienate a portion of your audience when you do that. Never crossed my mind about the Biden thing. That's a very good point. Very good point, man.
So you know that I have a fishing company, right? I'm super passionate about bass fishing. I have a tungsten weight company called Woo Tungsten, W-O-O exclamation.
No. Say it the right way.
Woo Tungsten. And we sell tungsten weights for bass fishing. We reposted one of those videos that The Rock had where he's catching a bass on his property. Like, you know, so cool, right? It's The Rock, one of the biggest stars in the world. Here, he's one of us. He's catching a largemouth bass. This is crazy. We got an email from one of our customers saying, I will never buy any of your products ever again because you reposted this video of The Rock.
Wow.
You reposted this video of someone who's trying to tear this country apart. And I just wrote back to him and said, this video had nothing to do with politics. This video was showing, hey, big movie star, just like us. He catches fish just like us. How cool is that? But wow. It was interesting that the perception on The Rock had shifted, at least in the mind of this person.
Interesting. All right. See, this is why I knew Chris Van Vliet was the guy to ask that question to of anybody. That was an awesome answer. All right. That's going to do it for the list and the Chris. This was an awesome time. Chris, why don't you tell the people what you're doing and where they can find you?
Jimmy Van, thank you so much for having me on. This is so much fun. And let's do it again for sure. If you're on YouTube right now and you're watching this, please subscribe to my YouTube channel, Chris Van Vliet, and also my second channel, CVV Clips, which is growing at this incredible rate of like 1,000 new subscribers a day. I would love if you would be one of those subscribers as we continue to grow that channel. And if you're on social media, it's just my name, at Chris Van Vliet.
Amazing. All right, go on over to FightfulSelect.com. We're going to do The List Goes On. I got more topics that we're going to talk about. CVV is going to join us, so we'll see you over there. Thanks a lot, man, for doing this.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.